the other thing is, you know, women looking to make a move, it's just, you know, asking those questions of a firm that you're thinking about, you know, and really asking to talk to women in leadership, or, you know, really women at all levels in a firm, and hear about their experience and hear how it's been for them.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fretzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fretzen.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Steve Fretzen here with Be That Lawyer. I am super excited to do another terrific episode of my podcast for you. And today's guest is job matchmaker and law firm growth strategist, Jennifer Bennett with KBF Search. Jennifer, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing okay, other than, you know, messing up the title of your of your introduction. But other than that, I'm doing great. So I don't know. I think I had a heavy lunch, and now I've got this, you know, I gotta pick up my energy for you, you know, make sure we...
Well, I might have overly complicated it a bit. I think the easier thing to say is I'm a legal recruiter. People will know what that means, but yeah.
I think the people listening know what that means, but would you do me a favor and be so kind as to go back and give a little bio, give a little history, and what it means to be a legal recruiter today?
Absolutely. So I have been recruiting lawyers for the last 20 years or so. Until earlier this year, I had spent the previous 20 years or so inside Am Law 100 firms recruiting from that side. So I started off doing on-campus recruiting and running summer programs, and then sort of worked my way up and eventually really started to focus on partner recruiting. So my most recent role with a firm, I was a national role where I spent all of my time recruiting partners, groups. We opened an office during my time there and did some work that culminated in a merger at the beginning of this year. So I decided to a lot of people make this joke, go to the dark side, the search firm agency side. This year, I wanted to have the opportunity to work with, you know, a bunch of firms that I really believe in. And so I launched my business this year with my business partner, Kelly. So we were here in Northern California. We're a boutique, women-owned firm. And we work mostly with law firms, although we do some in-house work as well, but partner-level lawyers. And we move individuals and groups and make the match.
Terrific, terrific. And I'm sure, you know, you're kind of seeing the inside or under the hood, if you will, of what's going on right now in the legal recruiting space during COVID. Can you share a little bit about what you're seeing right now?
Sure. I mean, I think the overall theme is there's just a lot of anxiety all around right now. You know, firms are hiring, you know, you can see that there's been movement both on the partner and associate level. There's certainly been a lot of activity to, a lot of the firms, especially big law firms, have been letting people go or cutting salaries. And so there's some of that happening. But I think overall, firms are still moving forward. Lawyers are busy. And, you know, they need to make additions. And so I think the big twist has been just that everybody is feeling very anxious. Candidates, even if they know that they probably should make a move, are feeling, you know, can I really add a job change, one more thing onto my plate into this crazy year that is 2020 and all the other uncertainty? And I think firms really want to move forward and advance their strategic goals, but feel that anxiety too, because none of us really knows what's coming. We can guess, but we don't know. And so, things are moving. Sometimes they're moving a little more slowly, but that's kind of been the theme.
And generally speaking, you're working with different size firms, but are you seeing them sort of put things on hold for a little while longer? Or are they looking to acquire while the market seems to be flush?
That's a great question. And I think there's a bit of both of that going on. I think some firms definitely see the opportunity. If I had to, you know, make a general rule, I'd say the smaller firms are being a little bit more aggressive because they see that they may have access to some talent that they might not normally. But I think there's other firms that are moving a little bit more slowly. And, you know, I guess the other generalization I would make is that partner recruiting hasn't really slowed down all that much. But on the associate side is where you really saw things grind to a halt earlier this year, and now we're starting to pick back up again. But
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so on the lawyer side, not the firm side, but the individual lawyers, what should they be focusing on right now to not only be successful in their practice, but also to, you know, if they are interested in making a move or that sort of being forced upon them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think certain rules sort of always apply here, but I think self-sufficiency is more important than it's ever been. I mean, most firms, when they're looking for partners especially, are hoping and expecting these folks to bring business with them on a move, and that certainly hasn't changed. So I think, you know, candidates looking to make a move should just be sure, you know, or do all that they can to shore up those relationships and really have confidence in that when they're having those conversations and looking to make that move. And obviously, it's always important to ask questions about a firm's strategic plan, their financial stability, sort of how they manage through tough times. And this is part of what I like to think I bring to the table, having been inside firms, is really understanding how different firms are structured and how important, you know, sort of what's under the hood, as you said earlier, is so important. And it can be hard to decipher as a candidate sometimes. A lot of firms, especially the bigger they get, you know, tend to look a lot the same from the outside. So that's part of what I help candidates with, is really kind of digging in a little bit, both on the finances, on culture, you know, on the way firms work, how they collaborate, how partners collaborate to build business, and all that good stuff.
You know, and clearly, you know, my focus, as you know, is on helping lawyers grow their books of business. And we talk about that self-sufficiency. You know, it just amazes me that many lawyers haven't figured out how important that is, not only for the inevitable, you know, possibility that they may have to move or things may change at their firm and they have to kind of go somewhere else, or to just have job security. So are you seeing a lot of attorneys coming to you that maybe don't have the book that allows them to be portable? And then that's something you have to sort of kind of say, sorry, but that's kind of what the market's looking for right now?
Absolutely. I mean, I think now more than ever, you know, it used to be that there would be firms, you could always find firms who were looking to add, you know, even partner level folks with certain subject matter expertise. And, you know, oftentimes firms would be okay with bringing people over who didn't have business. I just don't see that as a real viable option right now. I mean, maybe here and there. So I think, you know, you're right that it's just absolutely critical. And, you know, you had a prior podcast guest who I think put it really well when he said, you know, the only way to really have absolute control over your career as a lawyer is to have a book of business and have client relationships, because that will really enable you to write your own ticket in a lot of ways. And then you're just not at the mercy of what a firm is looking for, or what they can offer, or how they can help you.
But it still amazes me that, I mean, I think it's like, I mean, I could make up a stat, but it seems like maybe 10% are really understanding that, and the others are just kind of hiding under their desks, you know, hoping that that doesn't ever occur. And it always, you know, flusters me that that's the case. But I think, again, sometimes it takes a recession, or it takes a pandemic, or a zombie apocalypse, or something, or fires burning in California and the seas rising in the South to get people to realize that, look, you know, this is, you got one shot at making things work as an entrepreneur or as a lawyer, you know, providing services. And so you've got to step up and look at, you know, the sales component, if you're okay using that term, I think I am, that's a part of practicing the law.
Yep. And I think, you know, unfortunately for a lot of lawyers coming up through the ranks, it's just, these concepts are really scary to them, which is why I think what you do is so great, because, you know, it doesn't have to be at all. In fact, it can be quite fun to leverage relationships that, you know, you make into business. And I think a lot of, you know, lawyers are sort of underconfident in their ability to do that work, and then, you know, on a move to bring that with them. And I think they shouldn't be. It's a lot of it is mindset. And, you know, certainly in this market, if you're going to move from firm to firm as a partner, you're going to be asked, you know, who, not just how much business do you think you can move, but who are your clients and how deep are your relationships? Firms are getting much more savvy about asking these questions and really digging in. So candidates need to be prepared.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, I don't know if it was Tony Robbins or it was some other player in the game who came up with an acronym for FEAR. I think it's false evidence appearing real. And I think that's a totally made up thing. But anyway, it's interesting. And it kind of rings true that a lot of the fear, as you mentioned, is you know, lack of knowledge about how to do something. It'd be the equivalent of me walking into a courtroom without any real training, expecting to, you know, talk with a judge and a jury. And, you know, at that point, I turn into my cousin Vinny and, you know, these two Utes and the whole thing. When in reality, if I had just gone to law school and been trained by some of the top players, you know, I wouldn't have as big a problem. So it is a learnable skill, and it is something that you don't have to be afraid of if you can get, you know, proper education, just like in any area of, you know, law or learning music or learning to be a chef. It's all the same thing. So
absolutely.
So let's transition, if you wouldn't mind, to women, because I really feel like this is an area that we could dive into, and I think you could really shed some light. I mean, how are women in law today getting ahead or getting a seat at the table, maybe versus in the past?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think a lot of it has been a natural progression as, you know, more women have become lawyers and have worked their way up through the ranks. But firms have really been putting a lot of effort, you know, over the last decade, maybe more, into really diversifying the ranks of their partnership, you know, really taking proactive steps to recruit and advance women, becoming more flexible in the ways that you know, all of their lawyers, not just women, can move up through the ranks and become partners. I actually think, you know, what's going on in the world this year with COVID, while certainly it's disruptive and scary and there's a lot of things that are unpleasant about it, it's been really interesting to watch law firms, you know, how they've had to change and adapt with the flexibility factor and the way that people can work, whether it's working remotely or working in different ways. And I hope that some of that flexibility stays, because I think that will really help to advance, you know, work to advance women, parents, you know, anybody who has, you know, sort of things outside of the office that are pressuring them. So, yeah, I mean, I think you just see lots of great examples of firms that are really leading the way with, you know, having women in leadership positions. I think clients are demanding, you know, diversification on their case teams and their trial teams, and that has really pushed things forward in a really meaningful way. I mean, there's still work to do for sure, but I think there's just a lot more opportunity for women to have a seat at the table in law firms right now.
Okay. And what are some of the things that women should be considering or thinking about to achieve status or a level of success at a private law firm, private practice, big or small, doesn't matter. But what are the kinds of things that they should be looking to do to, you know, to leverage what's going on right now and make sure that they're, you know, getting to the next level?
No, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think that the number one, I mean, we talked, you know, earlier about the importance of building a book of business. I mean, I think whether you're a woman or you're a man, that's always the key, is the more, you know, you work to build that for yourself, the more leverage you will always have. So I think that it always comes back to that. And that's always number one. But I do think that, you know, women, you know, should have the confidence and recognize their value to firms. You know, firms really want, you know, to keep women and, you know, really make sure that they stay in the firm and don't leave because, you know, for the myriad reasons why anybody might leave a big law firm. But so I think it's really having that confidence and recognizing value and saying, hey, you know, this is what I want. I want to be a partner here. I want this kind of arrangement, or I want, you know, my clients need this, and, you know, really pushing things forward and being proactive. And okay. I think the other thing is, you know, women looking to make a move, it's just, you know, asking those questions of a firm that you're thinking about, you know, and really asking to talk to women in leadership, or, you know, really women at all levels in a firm, and hear about their experience and hear how it's been for them. I think I've seen a lot of interview processes that candidates are afraid to ask those questions, and they absolutely shouldn't be. A firm should be happy to open up about all of those issues.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And I think that, you know, not to be mansplaining, because that's, you know, nothing I ever want to be accused of again. It's happened before. And again, I'm not. I'm educating people on business development, best practices, be it man, woman, or alien. Doesn't matter. But the idea of having a book, absolutely, having that gives you that greater say at the table. I would say on top of that, becoming a thought leader, really focusing on your name being the standout in your particular area. You know, if you're in IP and technology in Chicago, You know, you're a Dahlia Saper and you say her name and people immediately know, oh yeah, sure, she's the, you know, a leader in that space. Or, you know, if I said Bob Clifford with aviation, you know, personal injury, I mean, we can go on and on with people that are the thought leaders. So I think having a book, being a thought leader, and then the other tip that I always give, because, you know, women do have pressures that men don't have. And, you know, it's a reality that there's a family component. There's a, you know, that leaks into it. And time management is really a critical element. And women and men alike don't really have a handle on how to manage time and how to get the most out of a minute, an hour, a day, whatever. And I think that's a learnable skill, like most things are, that need to be applied. And that's going to be potentially a game changer for people that are looking to build a book that have time constraints. Anything you'd like to add on to that as far as what you've seen?
No, I think that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, women shouldn't be afraid to, you know, sort of take the time management bull by the horns and take the time they need to do the things they need to do, you know, either, you know, outside the office. I mean, I remember being in a discussion with a female partner talking to a group of summer associates many years ago. And she said, you know, I've got stuff I have to do outside of the office. And what I need to, I just put something on my calendar. Nobody needs to know. If you don't feel comfortable saying, I need to handle this or I need to handle that, just put it on your calendar, block it off, be confident and handle your day the way you need to do it. But, you know, I think you're absolutely right. I think those skills are so important.
Yeah. And I'm working with an IP attorney now. She's at a major intellectual property firm and she's, you know, a leader. She's in charge of some very large associations that she basically volunteers. She's cranking out hours. She's originating business. She's got kids and family. I mean, she's balancing it all and it's not easy, but it's doable. And that's what has to happen today to kind of get to the next level, whether we call it a seat at the table or independence or financial freedom, whatever we want to call it. And, you know, that's where it is. And so if you're not there, these are the kinds of things you're going to want to think about when you talk to Jennifer, because that's going to sell the deal to go where you want to go and have the lifestyle. If you want to move to Colorado or you want to move somewhere cool or whatever, then cooler than Chicago, I guess. Not cooler in temperature, cooler in, hey, I live in Colorado, I'm cool. So let me ask this, and this is a weird question, but it's a segment I like to call, they never taught me this in law school, and I haven't done it in a while, but I thought it'd be kind of fun for us to talk about. What are some things that they never taught in law school that a young lawyer would like, that should know, but doesn't right now?
Well, I mean, I think some of it is just basic, you know, how to survive in a business environment lessons. I mean, I can't count the number of times I've seen either summer associates or new associates just do some of the craziest things because this is literally the first job they've ever had. You know, it's like, it kind of boggles the mind that you could have somebody, you know, so educated and getting paid so much money and they've probably never had a job in a business environment before. So, I mean, it sounds silly, but I wish more law schools would teach sort of basic, you know, business skills, business etiquette, you know, that kind of, because these, you know, young lawyers get thrown into these situations sometimes with big clients and, you know, they don't, you know, other than sort of learning by example on the fly, they don't really have any guidebook of how to act. So I think that's important. It seems silly, but it is important. But I think the business development part is a huge piece of that. Another program that I put together many years ago for a summer associate class was, you know, the biggest rainmaking partner in the firm brought two of his clients into the office and sat down at a table and did a round table with summer associates and just talked about, you know, how he developed business from them. It turns out that, you know, these three were all in law school together and that relationship started from, you know, day one and just built from there. And these ended up being two of his biggest clients. So I think demystifying some of how you develop business and, you know, really demonstrating that it doesn't start, you know, in your fifth year when you're starting to think about whether you want to become a partner and, oh boy, I better start developing a book of business right now. It actually starts with your peers and grows from there. And it doesn't have to be scary, right? It's your colleagues, it's your friends, and maybe someday your clients.
And that's a really good point, because a lot of the people that go to law school aren't going to go into private practice. They're going to end up going into own their own business. They're going to end up as a general counsel. And if you stay in touch with the best and brightest or the people that you know feel are going places, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you know, if you keep in touch and you continue to be a friend and help them in their career endeavors, you know, it's going to come home to roost. And I think that attorneys in law school need to really consider the idea of relationship building and networking as a core skill that they better start refining early on. It doesn't have to be about business development and getting business. That's not something a law school student or even maybe a first to third year lawyer would be looking into. But certainly building relationships and growing a network and making sure that you've got a sort of a plan for that, I think would be super helpful.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, from our mouths to the ears of the deans at these law schools who continue to ignore the problem that is, you know, they need to start teaching these things. You know, it is a part of law. I mean, even thinking back to when I first started working with lawyers and how difficult it was for me to get accredited for CLE because marketing, business development, branding, LinkedIn, blah, blah, blah. It's not legal education. And so it's amazing how, at least in Illinois, how they've turned a corner and they've really made really anything and everything that I'm teaching now accredited. You know, so we just need to flip that switch. And I know things in legal don't move quickly, but that's got to happen nationally because it's changing too much for it, you know, to stay the course and the way it's going.
No, I agree. And I think it's a real acknowledgement. I mean, I knew that, you know, a lot of lawyers, you know, law is a profession and a lot of lawyers think of it that way first and then the rest second. But I think that, you know, what's happening in Illinois, and there are some law schools that are starting to teach more of these classes, but it's a real acknowledgement that part of the practice of law is the business of law. And those are skills that are just so important. And I think you're kind of doing your students a disservice if you're not giving them at least some tools to hit the ground running in that area.
Right on. Well, let me ask you this. Is there anything, so there are lawyers out there or there are law firms out there that may want to talk to you about what you do and maybe get engaged with you. How do people get in touch with you if they'd like to reach out?
Absolutely. Well, I'm easy to find on LinkedIn. I'm Jennifer Bennett. I'm find through our website, my firm's website, KBF Search. So www.kbfsearch.com. But yeah, I mean, I'm always happy to talk to any firm or any candidate that is looking to make a move. And even if it's just a, hey, let's have a conversation about what might be possible. I mean, I feel like, you know, most of my day is spent in really a consultative and almost counseling way on both the law firm and the candidate side, just talking through ideas and, you know, what might be a move. And, I, you know, like you said before, this is a long game. And these career decisions are so, so important. And so it's not about, you know, making a quick match or a quick deal. It's about, you know, really finding that right match.
Yeah, I appreciate you're not saying that you are a part-time therapist, but I'm sure you are. Right? Me too.
Well, listen, I would never hold myself out as a therapist, but I will say that there's a certain level of, you do when you work, especially closely with a candidate over a long period of time. I mean, these, you know, especially on the partner side, these moves can take a long time and you really, you know, end up sharing just a lot of stuff with each other and you hear a lot of things. And you know what, it's important to do that because there are, you know, so many factors that come in to figuring out what the right place is for you professionally. You know, it's business, but it's also very personal. And so, you know, that's the part of the job that I really enjoy. And there's really nothing better than feeling like you've helped somebody find, you know, the right next professional home.
Well, there's a lot that goes into it. And to have someone like yourself in their corner, I know is a terrific benefit. And appreciate what you do. And I want to thank you for taking some time for me and for my listeners today. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And hey, everybody, I just want to thank you for listening and taking some time with Jennifer and myself today. Hope you enjoyed today's show and that you're one step closer to being that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, be safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.